Amen. There's a difference. Hell's just temporary. You're going to come out of hell and stand before the Lord and then have to be cast into the lake of fire. That makes me even more glad I'm saved tonight. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Well, let me say this. Thank you for everything you've done for me and my family this week. Hadn't it been good? We've seen the presence of God, and not only that, but we've experienced the power of God. And I want to say I appreciate the Lord and what He's done. I thanked Him already for what He's going to do tonight, and for the fellowship, the good room over there. And some of you got a fruit basket. We never did get one of those. Amen. The preacher kept ours. Amen. But other than that, everything's been a perfect week. I want to say to men like Brother Curtis and some of you, the rest of you, I'm taking time. I have to say this. Every night I've had to get in and just go the way the Lord's a moving. But I want to take time tonight, if the Lord will give me liberty, just to thank some of you men that make this church what it is, working behind the scenes, and what a blessing. And I appreciate it. Just it don't hurt to be faithful and back your preacher. And tomorrow night, Brother Ledbetter's going to be preaching, and you do not want to miss that. I promise you. I promise you. You'll want to be. He preaches for us that meeting the pastor mentioned in January the 11th. If you'll mark your calendar, we'll treat you so many ways you're bound to like one of them down there. Amen. Plus, you get the devil preached out of you if you're coming this one night. Amen. But thank you for everything, and especially want to thank the Lord, my family coming. It's just been good, preacher. It's just been good. I'm not a big preacher that preaches out all the time. I honor every opportunity I get. But if God will help me, I'm going to try to preach now. And Acts chapter number 19 tonight. Amen. Don't you appreciate His presence? Amen. If I was not saved, I'd get in. You don't have to wait till the preacher gets through. If I didn't have a testimony, if you say, well, I just don't understand what's going on, you'll understand it if you'll give your life to the Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen. You'll understand it then, I promise you. I'm in Acts chapter number 19 tonight. And you want to stand? Been sitting a little bit. And we'll see what the Lord's going to do. Now, I've asked you every night has been different. We've got to worship God a little bit. But I'm a firm believer that God just set the table for the message of the Word of God tonight. Amen. I don't preach that long. You don't have to be looking at your watch. But I've asked you every night to do what the Lord says do. If He speaks to your heart, you just mind what the Holy Ghost says. Will you promise me that tonight? Man, if you will, I want you to give me everything you can in that little speaker right there. It sure would help my throat. Acts chapter number 19. How many of you got your King James Bible with you tonight? Amen. Amen. It'll still work, won't it? Amen. I like what you believe, brother. I like what your preacher stands for. There's a different flavor and a different kind of church on every corner of this city, probably. You just stick with the old-time way. When your young'uns get to be teenagers, you'll thank God for an old-time preacher. Amen. Acts chapter number 19 tonight. Acts 19. And I'll begin reading in verse number 1. And it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus, and finding certain disciples, he said unto them, have ye received the Holy Ghost since ye believed? And they said unto him, we have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. And he said unto them, unto what then were ye baptized? And they said, unto John's baptism. Then said Paul, John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him which should come after him, that is, on Christ Jesus. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid his hands upon them, the Holy Ghost came on them, and they spake with tongues and prophesied. And all the men were about 12. And he went into the synagogue and spake boldly for the space of 3 months, disputing and persuading the things concerning the kingdom of God. But when divers were hardened and believed not, but spake evil of that way before the multitude, he departed from them and separated the disciples, disputing daily in the school of one Tyrannus. And this continued by the space of 2 years, so that all they which dwelt in Asia heard the word of the Lord Jesus, both Jews and Greeks. Father, take your word tonight. We've already been in your presence. We've enjoyed old time worship. But Lord, you and I both know now is the most important time of the night. Lord, arrange the atmosphere like I think you have. Help me preach with the touch and the power of God tonight. And I pray that the word of God would fall on receptive ears, lest they be one tonight, Lord, that thinks they've got to where they don't need preaching. Remind us that this book will make us what we are tonight in the Lord Jesus. We love you and we thank you. In Jesus' name, and all of God's people said. Now, Paul is on a missionary journey. And verse number 10, he's been in Asia for about 2 years, the Bible says. And I want you to look what the Bible says in verse number 10. The Bible says, and this continued by the space of 2 years, look here, so that all they which dwelt in Asia heard the word of the Lord Jesus. Did you get that? Now I want you to get that. Everybody on the continent heard the word of God. Is that or not what your Bible says? In the space of 2 years, every man, woman, boy, girl, Jew, and Greek heard the word of God that was on that continent. You say, well, in 2 years' time now, the largest continent heard the word. You say, boy, he must have had a great big crowd. Well, according to your Bible, in verse number 7, look at it, and the men were about 12. Notice, Brother Kelly, I'm reading from the King James Bible now. They're not preachers, they're not evangelists, they're not even deacons, the Bible said. They're laymen that got it, they got right with God. One preacher said they got it, amen. They got a hold of the right thing. 12 men reached the whole continent with the word of God. That's what your Bible said in 2 years. Amen. 12 men doing what Christians and churches and what 12. Yeah, you keep looking down at your Bible because that's what it says. That's exactly what it says. 12 men reached the whole continent with the word of God. I know churches that boast of 12,000 men. I know churches that boast of 10 and 12,000. I've made reference every night this week to us having 300 or 400, which makes me nothing, by the way. We ain't done what 12 done. We can't reach our community, amen. 12 men reach the biggest continent you know of with the gospel. Give the gospel to them. I want to try to preach tonight if God will help me on about a dozen will do. About a dozen. Will do. It don't take many, friend. It don't take many to get the job done if you got the right kind. Amen. If you got the right kind. Notice this now. Paul in verse 1, finding, the end of verse 1, finding certain disciples. In other words, he's looking for them. Hey, unto God, I'm a looking for 12 too, ain't you? Amen. I'm a looking for 12 just like this. Amen. They're probably instrumental in building those seven churches in Asia Minor. We give all the credit to Paul and some of the rest of them. I'd say these men are very, very instrumental in winning folks to God and starting that church. Thus, you and I getting the gospel. 12 men. Amen. These 12 men might be one of the reasons you and I are sitting saved tonight. Now, notice this. God had put something in these men. Now, Jesus handpicked 12 disciples. These are not them. But they turned the world upside down, or you might say they turned it right side up, 12 men. Amen. Paul picked these 12 men, found these 12. They give the gospel to a whole continent. We need 12 men like these men. A dozen will do. According to this book, we don't have to have 1,000 if we just get a dozen like this. Amen. 1,000's wonderful, but 12 will do. Amen. I'd like to have 2,000, but 12 will do. Amen. 12 will do if they got what these guys got. Well, what these guys got? Well, first of all, I need 12. We need a dozen. That number one will stick. Now, you stay with me. Stay with me. Verse number 1 says there's certain disciples. They was disciples when Paul found them, right? But wait a minute. They were not disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. They didn't know nothing about the Holy Ghost or Jesus. They were disciples unto John. Amen. That's what your Bible said. Now, wait a minute. The Bible says they were been baptized unto John. They was going to the same heaven you and I got going to. Wait a minute. Did you know they was they responded to the light that they had, and God sent them more light? They was disciples of John. They didn't even have a full revelation of what was going on. Amen. John said, I baptize you under repentance, and one more is coming, Jesus Christ. They didn't know what they was doing. They just trusted the man of God and the word of God. But wait a minute. John had been dead for 20 years or 25 years at this time of this text. So John's been dead. These guys are still certain disciples. For 25 years, they served God without a preacher, without an old-time choir, without anybody ever pumping them and priming them. Amen. That's what I call low-maintenance kind of guys. Amen. You didn't have to pump them up. You didn't have to buttercup them. You didn't have to give them a piece of candy. They had the real thing. Amen. Hallelujah. They was men that would stick. They wasn't fair-weather Christians. They wasn't the kind that would get in when the mountaintop was, everything was on the mountaintop. They didn't quit when their friends quit. They didn't quit when the summer, when there was a wintertime season. Amen. They didn't quit when God didn't manifest himself. Amen. They didn't quit when they couldn't find God. They had what's missing today is stickability. Amen. We're missing stickability. They was in when the wind blowed and when the wind didn't blow. Amen. When the preacher hit a home run and the preacher struggled, they was just in. Amen. They was just in. They had stickability. That's what they had, stickability. Just give it 12. 12 men, about a dozen will do if they'll stick. They'll stick. Hey man, we had a family call today. One of their young'uns got out in a mess and was quitting on God and it ruined really her testimony. One of their young'un just outside of our youth group and they called and said, we think we're going to find another church. I said, wait a minute, why are you going? We don't want our young'un to hurt your youth group. I said, that don't make no sense to me. I said, you need to be, matter of fact, you need a good solid youth group now worse than you've ever needed one. Amen. You want me to tell you what's wrong with people like that? Amen. They probably ain't been one down here, but unless they are. Hey, do you know what's wrong with them? They're church jumpers. They're church hoppers. Amen. They're going where they can feel something. And then when the preacher puts it down just right, they got a problem. And their letter stays in the post office more than it stays in the church office. Amen. And they going to lose their kids. Exactly what's wrong with them. Amen. God give us some folks day after day, month after month, that'll say, God put me here and no circumstance is going to drive me away. If circumstances make you leave, then the next church all the devil will do is dangle a little circumstance and you'll keep you on the move all the time. Find a church where the presence of God is. I happen to know where one is in Goldsboro, and get right in the middle of it and stay there. Amen. Stay there. Stickability. Stickability. That's what we need. Stickability. That's what I call low maintenance kind of guys. Amen. They didn't care whether the preacher shake their hand or not. They was wanting something from that pulpit. Folks call me all the time wanting to know what we got to offer their kids. Amen. We ain't got nothing but what we got to offer adults. Preaching, praising, and praying. And old time worship. Amen. If that don't work, amen, we ain't got nothing else for you. Amen. You better find you a church not where what you agree with the preacher's personality or maybe the way he wears his shoes or his hair. You better get somewhere where you can get something coming from this pulpit. Amen. That's what'll get you through the hard times. That'll get you up the mountaintop. That'll get you through the hard times. An old-fashioned preacher. If none of you shake my hand, I'm going to come back if he invites me. It's a funny thing. People leave and say, you don't shake my hand. I went to Walmart the other night. Nobody out there shook my hand. Amen. Hallelujah. And the first night, the police was out there. There'd been a fight. But I'm going to go right back out there because they got something I need. Go ahead and fight. Go ahead and fight. I'm going to keep coming back. You let a booger jump at the church, they got trouble down there. I think I'm going to leave. It don't make no sense to me. Amen. You go back to Walmart and they kill each other in the parking lot. Well, hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Hey, find you a place, just hunker down, scratch you out a place. Hey, don't be a high maintenance Christian. My goodness, worry somebody to death trying to make sure you've got a pacifier all the time. Whoa, it's going to be. No, man, won't you grow up in the Lord? Amen. Won't you grow up? Eat you some meat. Amen. I got to look right there, preacher. I got to look. I know who's on the milk. Amen. Get you some of the meat of the Word of God. Amen. Amen. Well, amen. Amen. About a dozen will do if they'll stick. Number two, look in verse two. About a dozen will do if they're spirit-filled. Now, this will take care of point one. But in verse two, he said, have you been received the Holy Ghost? Verse two, he says, well, we have not so much as heard whether there be a Holy Ghost. Goes on down through there, and the Bible says that they saying unto the people that they should believe on him which should come. Verse 5, when they heard this, they were baptized. Verse 6, when Paul had laid his hands on them, the Holy Ghost came on them. Wait a minute now. Hey, it's one thing to have God living in you. It's another thing for God to be on you. If you're saved, amen. There's been a lot of times I've been just as saved as I ever was, but I didn't have the touch of the Holy Ghost on my life. Amen. Having God in you will get you to heaven, but having God on you will reach a whole continent. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm going to say that again. Having God in you will get you to heaven, but having God on your life will reach a whole continent with the Word of God. Amen. Hallelujah. Man, I like that myself. Ephesians 5:18, be ye not drunk with wine where it is excess, but be ye filled with the Holy Spirit of God. That's what the Bible said. It's just as much a sin not to be filled as it is to be drunk. If we'd ever look at that verse the way it is in the context, we'd want to be more spirit-filled. Amen. It's just as much sin for a man to be drunk as it is a Christian not to be filled. We want to throw off on the drunks, amen. Amen. Let's throw off on the crowd. Don't know what Holy Ghost spirit-filled living is. Amen. That you don't have to preach to them about what they wear. You don't have to mess up a good sermon and preach on modesty if everybody gets spirit-filled. And you don't have to worry about sticking because there'll be something on the inside of you swell up you can't quit. Hey, spirit-filled. Amen. Amen. That's what everybody needs. That's what all the deacons need in the church. That's what all the Sunday school teachers need in the church. I don't let me kill it now. I appreciate shouting, but your shouting don't impress me if you ain't filled with the Spirit. That's exactly right. I love that. Don't quit. I need it. Amen. Hey, but that don't make you spiritual. Amen. Amen. Spirit-filled. Amen. Spirit-filled. Amen. That'll make you do right when ain't nobody looking. That's exactly right. Amen. Now, we're all good Christians in here tonight, amen? I'm looking pretty good myself, ain't I? Pretty good Christian. Well, you are what you are when you're going down the road by yourself and you got access to the radio, you got access to anything you want to do. You are what you are when you're by yourself. That'll let us know which of us needs to be spirit-filled, amen? Amen. You can tell a spirit-filled Christian, amen? Hey, they won't be I can't get off of that. They won't be critical. They're not going to be prideful. Amen. I may deal with that in a little bit. They're not going to think they're better than nobody else. They're not going to sit in a meeting and be critical. Who you think you are anyway? Amen. You think you... Amen. Hey, God don't have to have you. This church don't have to have you. It's a blessing to be in something like this. Amen. I don't like critical people. Amen. They can't leave fast enough at Love Valley. Amen. That's exactly right. If you want to help us, help us. Help me. Help your preacher. But being critical of everything I do, you're not killing me. No, 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 no. Amen. It's easier to move your letter than me to move. We don't want nobody to leave. You know what I mean. But criticism, if you'll get spirit-filled, you'll lose that critical attitude. Amen. And you won't get so mad looking when I say something about it. Like some of you are. Amen. All right, look here. Now, you didn't get mad, Brother Hudson, going to throw a pulpit at you. Amen. I'm just telling you to get right with God. Amen. Hey, let me hurry. About a dozen will do if they'll stick. Number two, about a dozen will do if we're spirit-filled. Number three, look in verse 8. Boy, it's getting good. Hey, about a dozen will do if we'll be very sensitive. Sensitive. Verse 8, notice this. Verse 4 and 5, Paul
pointed them to Christ. You agree with that? Right. He said, "Boys, we understand what you've done. You've had like a part of a revelation. You know what? Acts is a book of transition. It's a transition book. And he baptized them, and now they're what they would call followers of Christ. Are you right? Yeah. Right. They're you got to stay with me here now. They got baptized now. They're followers of the Christ. And when you're following Christ and having a pastor are joined in the Scriptures." Amen. He put a pastor in their life by the name of Paul. Now, wait a minute. Now, you got me so far. Paul, they're wandering around. God sends the man of God to them. They do it right. They do what Paul said. They got baptized. They got the Spirit of God. And they're followers of Christ now. Not John. Not John. Not longer John. They're no longer disciples of John the Baptist. Now they're disciples of Christ. And now they've got a pastor that they're following. Their man of God now, in verse number 8, is preaching, went in the synagogue and spake boldly now for the space of 3 months. They'll make it about 3 months. Most time, you know, them critical folks, they might make it 3 months. Disputing and persuading the kingdom, the things concerning the kingdom of God. In verse 9, but when divers were hardened. Wait a minute. That same word hardened is Romans 9:18. When Pharaoh's heart was hardened. And also Hebrews chapter 3, verse 8, when Israel's heart became hardened on the day of provocation. That word means intentional hardening. It means, you look at it when you get home, it means hardening your heart in the face of truth. You look at it when you get home. Here's some guys that deliberately heard the truth of the Word of God and said, we will not have that. They knew it was truth according to that word. Now, these men knew it was true. They knew better. Most people know better. Most people that leave me know I'm telling the truth. They know I'm telling the truth. That it's a deliberate hardening of the heart. Wait a minute. Hey, then they said, hey, we don't like it. That they said they knew better, but they still hardened their heart. They rejected revealed truth. You watch that. That's a good way to get reprobated. For God to enlighten you with truth. Amen. And you harden your heart up and say, I'm not going. That's a good way for your family to go downhill real fast. Amen. But wait a minute. Here's my point. They were so sensitive. They were not carnal baby Christians. They were so sensitive to what was right. When their man of God got under attack, you know what they done? They never missed a lick. When some folks in the church got their feelings hurt and they hardened their heart against the preacher, amen. These guys never missed a lick. If you're going to win folks to God, you're going to have to be sensitive. Amen. When everybody else is quitting and a pouting and wanting to go back to where they used to go, you're going to have to say, have enough God on you to keep going. Amen. Be sensitive to what's right. They were sensitive. Hey, back in 2009, about 99, I'd just been there about 98. I'd just been there about a year, and there was a crowd got to hating me. Son, I'm telling you, they wanted me gone. And a bunch of people quit me, left me. God knowed I was trying to do right. I was just standing for the Bible, the King James Version, and wanting to have old time worship. Amen. But they left me. But there was a crowd that stayed. They didn't understand everything that I was trying to do, and I didn't either. But they trusted the man of God. I can give you their name. See, it's been what, 12, 13, 14 years later now? Now them little babies they had, amen, that was just newborns back then, they sat at the feet of the man of God. I can give you their names, Megan and Miranda, Becca. There's one on the front row, young man called to preach. When everybody else left me, his mom and daddy stayed with me. His daddy died suddenly, 41 years old, about 2 years ago. Had a massive stroke and died just like that after bus visitation. But ain't you glad his family wasn't out in Moab when it happened? He's here tonight because he wants to. He wants to be here tonight. You better stay with the man of God and be sensitive. I don't care how loud they shout. I don't care what they smell like. I don't care what they look like or what they say. If they turn on your man of God, you keep on going. Keep your eyes on them. Keep your eyes on the Lord. You got to be sensitive. Amen. That brings me to my next point. They were stable. Hey, they'll be stable. 12 men will do only if they're stable. The crowd, look in verse 9, says the divers were hardened and believed not, but spake evil. Hold on a minute now. The ones that's hardened their heart against the man of God are now making it vocal. They're not just keeping it inside and leaving, but the ones that's got a hard heart against the preacher, now they're speaking evil. By the way, the Holy Ghost put in your King James Bible that it was evil. Ain't that what the Bible says? To say anything about God's man is evil. Receive not an accusation. Anybody knows not to make one. Any dummy knows not to make one. He said for you not to even receive one. Hey, I had a man come up one time, and I'm nothing. He's a whole lot worse than he could have said it to. Had a man come up to me, my wife's a witness, you probably are too. Man and his wife walked up to me, they'd been stealing money from the church, and we didn't really know it at that time, but God revealed it. And he looked up, both of them looked up to me and said, you are a false prophet. You're a devil. Boy, they just kept on pointing. I can see it now. I can see that ugly woman pointing that finger at me like it. I said woman because the husband was scared behind her, amen, like all of them are. And he said, you're wicked, and she was telling me off. And it wasn't, just a few days, Miss Jenny, going down the road, that man had a massive heart attack and died, never did get to get right. Now, you can believe what you want to. You're welcome to believe what you want to. It's a very dangerous thing to put your hands or your mouth on a man of God. God will let you by today. God may let you by tomorrow, and then swift judgment will come on somebody. Exactly right. Now, you check me out on that. I believe I'm right. Hey, find you a preacher's got a backbone and be stable. Be stable and get in there with him. You can find a pantyweight, sissy britches, sugar whiskers preacher. Everywhere you turn, there's one that'll let you do anything you want to. Find you one that'll slobber, that'll preach, amen, that'll sweat and stand against the devil and stand against your wife when she gets upset. Amen. Find you one and be stable and get with him. Amen. Amen. Hey, they got critical of the man of God, but it didn't affect these guys. Number one, it didn't affect their listening. Others got mad, began to, you know what they're doing? They're picking apart the word, the message. They're listening to what Paul's saying, and they're picking it apart. Didn't affect their listening. Somebody, can't you hear them? And by the way, it's probably their own kin folks. It's probably people they work with, probably people they brought to church. You know what they done? They kept on going. You better watch. Here's what happens. Listen to me. If you don't hear nothing else I said, listen to this. You run that man of God down, here's what happens. Your kids are listening. They know how you feel about your preacher. Okay, when they're little old bitty things, you get by, you're running him down, you think you got by. You go on to the next church. You say, well, I found me another one, and I've got me a good preacher over here who don't holler, and he don't make us feel like we're stupid if we don't like old-time religion. Amen. Amen. They ain't nothing else in my book. But they let things go down there, and you bring your family over and you think, wow, what a great decision I've made. But what you done, when your little boy goes to hearing that sugar whiskers preach over there, they start saying, well, he ain't no count either. You cut the little boy's hearing ear off. He don't hear. You don't have to hear my word. You got to hear from the word of God. But if you don't hear the preacher and you're mad at the preacher, probably you won't hear from God. And you cut their hearing ear off where they can't hear from the man of God. And your little family sitting over there, amen, done made a mess with their relationship with you, thinking they're going to go on and be all right, but it ain't like that. There was a lady met me in the vestibule of our church not long ago, and she grabbed me, and I had to hold that woman up. She said, I've lost both my boys. She said, my boys hate church. They used to love you, preacher. She said, they got no use for you. They wouldn't come over here if they knew they was going to die. My whole family is out of church. And I was standing there, and she was a-weeping and a-crying, and she looked up to me, and she said, and it's my fault. She said, I've run my mouth about you in this church till I've ruined my family. And I watched, and my wife knows her. She turned, shaking all over, and walked off into the dark night, saying, oh, my God, what have I done? It's too late to say you're sorry when you hurt your kids. You get them off in Moab somewhere. Everybody's always got too much pride to come back. Amen. They'll let their family go to hell before they'll come back. Amen. I say just be stable. Hey, it didn't affect their listening. They kept on going. It didn't affect their love. Let me give you this. I just saw this afternoon. And now, behold, listen to this now, their love for the man of God. Paul says, Acts 20:25, and now, behold, I know that ye are all among ye all among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God shall see my face no more. Paul said, you're not going to see me no more. Wherefore I take you to record this day that I'm pure from the blood of all men, for I've not shunned to declare unto you the whole counsel of the word of God. That means he preached on sin, preached on the Savior, preached on sin again. Amen. And then, so now they're preaching. He's a preaching to them. He's saying, you're not going to see me no more. These guys here, these 12 guys. Look in verse 36. And when he had thus spoken, he knelt down and prayed with them all. Here's that crowd that stuck with the man of God. Paul's fixing to die. He knows he's fixing to be gone. He's not going to be seen no more. They all wept sore and fell on Paul's neck and kissed him, sorrowing most of all for the words which he spake, that they should see his face no more. And they accompanied him into the under the ship. You know what they're doing? Every one of them, they're out there. This is the man of God that everybody's heart got hard at. This is Paul. This is the preacher that a lot of them quit. He had to say, they had to separate. That's a picture of them leaving the church. But you know what that 12 that won the whole continent to God did? They kept loving their preacher. Got down at his feet, friend, when he said, I'm never coming back. You know what they done? I believe they got down at his feet and said, you know, we're never going to see you again. Well, what about my grandbabies? My family's in church because you preached hard. You preached the devil out of my marriage. Preacher, you had enough guts and God on you to tell me what was wrong. Yeah. Preacher, I just want you to know I love you. And they fell on his neck and wept sore, the Bible said, and they stayed with the man of God. I got a crowd at Love Valley that would kill you tonight over me. And you can say what you want to. We're not cult leaders. I don't rule their home, amen. But they love their preacher. There's nothing wrong with loving your preacher. Amen. There's nothing wrong. You say, well, what if his head swells up? God will let the air out of it. About four sermons in a row with no touch of God, and that head will go down on it. I know all about that. How you know? None of your business. Amen. Hey, but listen, it won't affect your love. It didn't affect his listening. It didn't affect their loyalty. Criticism didn't affect their loyalty. They stayed with Paul, and I won't deal with that, but then it didn't affect their labor. They didn't say, I'm resigning my Sunday school class because Jack and Jill decided they're not going to come to. They're going to resign their class, so I'm going to resign mine. Some folks just wait on a little stink to stir up in church so they can get on the bandwagon. Oh, yeah. Well, we heard something on the preacher. Yeah, well, what is it? We're with you. What is it? I heard they resigned. They're good people. We're thinking about giving up what we do. You never did have nothing. Amen. If God give it to you, if everybody quit. I had a deacon. When that crowd left me, there's one deacon. Growed up in that town, Buddy Collins. Everybody in that whole community left me. They was three or four families. They got after me, friend, tried to run me off. And all the deacons, they had 100 different positions. I'm telling you. They had positions to meet to try to find other positions that they could fill. And every one of them left me, an old buddy. He said, best I can tell you, trying to do right. Now, I ain't going to tell you he knowed a lot of Bible back then. He's come a long ways. But he said, I don't know what they're doing. I ain't got no idea why they turned on you like that. But I just feel like you got the right heart and you're doing right, and I'm going to stay with you. He's still with me today. His own family won't even talk to him, and he stayed. What you going to do when your favorite pew-sitting partner is going to quit on the preacher? Oh, I understand everybody's for him tonight. What you going to do when your wife gets all tangled up? Amen. Amen. Are you man enough to keep on going when your wife gets crossed up? By the way, God ain't never told no woman to leave no church. Amen. Don't make me preach on that. Hey, there's the head of the house. The head of the house is the husband. And if he's going to go, tell somebody to go, he's not going to tell you, ma'am. Amen. Anything with two heads is a freak. That's what a home is. It's got a little henpecked chicken lip husband sitting on the bedpost. It won't. Okay. Look. And that's what you call that. You'll never do nothing for God till you rise up and be the man of your house. Amen. Now you tell me if it's too. No, amen. Love Valley needs this Sunday morning now. Okay. Amen. Hey, look here. Look here. Affected their labor. Look here. It affected their love. We need some men that'll stick. We need some men that are spirit-filled. 12 that are sensitive. 12 that are stable. Verse 5, here's one more good one. That'll be submissive. Verse 5, listen to me now. Notice this now. And just let me paraphrase it. I'm about through. But he says in verse 5, when they heard this, Paul begins to question them about their walk with God. He says, have you received the Holy Ghost? Who was it baptized you anyway? You got the touch of God on your life? Paul's just doing what a preacher should do. He put that book on them. And they said, verse 4, we heard of one to come. We're talking about the Paul said, you got baptized in faith of one to come, but now you need to be baptized as a disciple of Christ, basically is what he's saying, and receive the Holy Ghost, be baptized in Jesus' name. They done it, didn't they? Now, wait a minute. You getting that whole picture? Paul walks up and says, for 25 years, you've been doing it this way. For 25 years, you've been going your direction. But now, I'm sorry to tell you, but now we're going to change directions, and you need to do it this way. They said, yes, where's the water pool at? When will you be baptizing me? Amen. The man of God standing in front of them said, we're going to change now. Now, I'm not talking about changing the word of God. God said, through the man of God, said, we're going to do it. Now you need to be, what you used to have ain't working no more. You do that in a Baptist church, it'll split four ways. You go in and say, for 25 years we've done it this way, but now it needs to be done this way, and you got problems. That's exactly right. Amen. They were so submissive, they said, whatever the man of God says, hey, it's right. And they won their whole concert. You say, I'd never do that. No, and you ain't going to win nobody either. That's exactly right. Hey, man, where am I at here? Hey, notice it. I'm talking about submissive. Let me preach on that for 5 or 6 minutes and we'll go home. I'm talking about submissive now. Look here. Hey, I want to know how do you act when you're treated like a servant? A servant, you know, really don't have no rights. There's only one voice, one man in this church that God's going to tell the will of God to. I hate to tell you that. Amen. I wish God would have fixed it where there's a group that he could talk to, but he didn't fix it that way. God builds a church. First of all, he led through Moses and he led through Joshua. Amen. And the only time they had a meeting now to decide what they was going to do to go to Canaan, amen, they missed the will of God. So when your pastor don't feel led to vote, you better leave him alone. I'm not talking about preachers and the money and all that stuff. We vote on stuff when we need to vote. But I promise you, God speaks through the man of God. And I like it getting quiet because you need to hear that. God speaks through your preacher. God speaks through your preacher. He's going to give the will of God to the preacher. I ain't never flew on an airplane but one time. Lord help me, I'll never fly again. But you know what? The pilot gave all the decisions and told everybody what to do. God, amen. Hey, I got something here. He listened to the tower and he told us what we need to do. Exactly right. Amen. If your man of God's praying and he fears God, leave him alone. He's got a message. He's got a message. Submitting. I don't care what a man's mannerisms is. Is that a word? Mannerisms. I don't care how spiritual he acts like he is. If you ain't in subjection to your pastor and submit to your pastor, you're not right with God. I don't care how loud you pray or how loud you shout or how many times you cry. If you're not right with your pastor and he's not the leader, you're not right with God. That's exactly right. Got a little quiet in the corners. Amen. That's exactly right. Amen. But I'm talking about sold out. Hey, but you've been in our church, been a servant. I don't have time to tell you what God's done for that man for just being a servant. Just being a servant. We got young preachers, I wouldn't let them lead in silent prayer. I wouldn't call on them. I'd be afraid it'd quench the Holy Ghost to call on them to pray. They think they got their own little ministry inside of a ministry. They think they've arrived. They think they the only ones got the Holy Ghost on them. Amen. Amen. If you're bucking your pastor, you're not a bit. And I don't even know who the young preachers are. Amen. But I know one thing: they're not right with God unless they're behind you. That's exactly right. Amen. 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 Well, I got to get off of that. Amen. Hey. If you don't obey, if you don't obey authority, you can see. I don't think you're listening to authority you ain't never seen. It's exactly right. All week long, if he tells me to stop now, I stop now. If he says sing, I'll try to sing. I don't think God will tell you that. Hey, he's in charge. Amen. He's in charge. He's the man of God. He says, stop, I stop. Here's the way we do it at Love Valley. If I say, a missionary, give me 8 minutes, and if they go 12, they go. We don't give them no love offering. We smile at them at the back door, and we don't ever take them on. I know you wouldn't do that, but I do it because I think they ought to listen to the authority. Exactly right. Once they get 15 minutes, I just sat there. Yeah, go ahead. Yeah, my people's done turned off because I done taught them to obey authority. Exactly right. Amen. If he says, if what I've said, hey, look here now. Look here. I don't care who it is. Preachers don't call me and say, I'll be there Sunday. God told me to come. I said, no, he didn't tell you to come here, bud. No. You better pray and let him tell me. Singing group called and said, God told me to be there Friday night. Well, come on, enjoy the service. But I don't know if you'll sing or not. Amen. You watch that stuff. Amen. You are in charge, friend. He's in charge. You talk to God about it at the judgment seat or the great white throne, whichever one you go to. You talk to God, and you'll see that I'm right. Amen? Amen. Amen. Notice this. No, they were servants. They were servants. They were servants. What you going to do when God sends a better choir leader in? What you going to do when God sends a more seasoned Sunday school teacher in? Are we in it for the glory of God? Amen. What are we going to do when God sends somebody better equipped to do what you're doing? What you going to do? You'll find out what you are right then. That's exactly right. Amen. Well, a servant, you know you're a servant by how you're treated when you act like a servant. No. You know you're a servant by how you act when you're treated like one. Let me get that right. Hey, one more real quick. In verse 9, now I'm talking about they'll stick, spirit-filled. They'll be sensitive. They'll be stable. They'll be submissive. They'll be separated. Had to separate from some, verse number 9. Amen. You're going to have to separate some things. Right. You're going to have to be separate from things. God will make you, say, well, I'm having trouble with my separation. Yeah, and you're going to have trouble winning anybody to God. Somebody said, well, what are you doing, preaching about what people wear? No, I'm telling you that somebody said the other night in our place, they said, well, preacher, God looks on the heart. I know he does. We're not trying to win God. We're trying to win sinners, and they can't see your heart. So all they know is what you look like on the outside. That's exactly right. Amen. So you got to be separated. Hey, don't get upset at your preacher if he's anti-Church of God and anti-charismatic. He's just trying to lay a foundation here. Amen. Put the truth down for the glory of God. I'm not going to a church where all the different denominations get together. There's only one preacher that I know can get together with 67 denominations and not make nobody mad. He's on TV, and I won't mention his name because some of you will get your Kleenexes out. Amen. Amen. He can preach with 67 denominations and never. I can't preach to Baptists without making somebody mad. Don't look down at the ground. Jesus made a lot of people mad. They wouldn't let John the Baptist preach for 6 months, cut his head off. Amen. That's exactly right. Amen. Separated. Then notice this. Hey, verse 10, and I'm done with this, I promise. Verse 10. You're going to have to be, a dozen will do if we're soul winners. Verse 10, all they that dwell in Asia. I was thinking about this today. They worked. They had families. I'm sure they worked because the Bible said if a man don't work, he shouldn't eat. Paul put that down, so I figured they worked or he wouldn't have nothing to do with them. They're lazy bums, what I mean. You know, everybody can't be on welfare. Hey, if somebody needs it, I'm for it. I think they ought to give the right ones a raise. If you need it, I'm for you getting it. I'm talking about this crowd. Everybody's trying to get on disability nowadays. The disability goes to people that's disabled. Amen. Amen. If you're able to work, now don't be getting my money. Anyway, these men worked. They were. Paul was a tent maker. Amen. They had lives. They had children. But they still won people to God. They sacrificed. They like that crowd in Mark 2 that I preached on last week somewhere. You know what they done? They sacrificed. They worked hard to win somebody to the Lord. These guys went out walking and walked with a man and brought him to Christ. You got to go to trouble to win people to the Lord. Amen. Amen. Sunday morning, we had a guy come follow us to Thomasville last week, and I preached. He was lost, little young boy. And, man, I loved all over him. I couldn't believe he'd come. And he's just tickled to death to be there. Well, Sunday morning, I preach on Orpah. Why? What made Orpah want to go back to Moab? And after I got through preaching, I noticed a little disturbance over in the corner. And Brother Michael comes out wiping his eyes, and he's got that little boy. He's about, 15? Is he 15? He comes walking over to me, got born again. Yeah. Hey, man, go after him, brother. Go. My neighbors just got saved. Just a few weeks ago, neighbors lived beside. I thought they thought I was crazy. You know what they said when they got saved? He said, I really thought they thought I was crazy. They wouldn't even look at us. We wave, how y'all do, if you ever need us. And by then, they're already turning around. If you ever need anything, hey, would you come to church Sunday? Well, we got a church. Kept on going. They showed up one Sunday and got born again about 3 weeks after that. They joined the church Sunday night. Joined the church. Amen. You know what they said? We've been watching you. We've been watching y'all. Soul winning ain't just knocking on doors. Soul winning's your daily life. Amen. 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 Listen. Just what you gonna do when the pressure's on? What you gonna do when the church is having problems? That's no time to quit winning souls. There's nobody that can't have folks in their church. Now, a big church don't make it spiritual. Trust me. Trust me. God gets in this little medium-sized churches like this. I prompt, don't he? But you can have people at church. The gospel still works. That's exactly right. I'm going to tell you, if we've ever learned anything at Love Valley, we've learned that that book on sinners will still work. You pray. You come in praising and thanking God. Get behind your man of God. And, hey, if I was you, I used to say, man, I hope the last night I'm there is the best service. Like if on Friday night, man, I pray that Friday night will be the best service. I quit praying that. I pray that the Sunday after we're gone will be the best service. If you're going to shout when some strange-looking, ugly fella's up here preaching, and you don't shout when your preacher's preaching, you got some serious heart problems. I don't allow that at our place, man. Now, my people go off somewhere that's act crazy. They better act crazy at our place. Hey, man, I'm the one they call when they die. Hey, man. Hey, who have you won to the Lord? Who are we going to win? Who are we going to win? Have we got any prospects? We claim to be Spirit-filled. When in the book of Acts, when the Holy Ghost gets on you, you become witnesses. You don't fall on the floor. You don't see visions. You don't get chill bumps necessarily. You're a witness. You're a witness. Who we bringing Sunday? You think this meeting's just, you know what the whole purpose of this meeting is? I promise you, you say, to stir our church. Well, maybe. But the end result is for somebody to get saved. Not maybe in this meeting, but to get the church on fire to where we can hear from God again, get all that stuff out of our life, all that hard feelings and stuff, so we can win somebody to the Lord. The big purpose, you know, you have trouble in your life. Look here, 30 seconds. In Exodus 14, they're facing impossible odds. I'm preaching on this Sunday morning. They're facing impossible odds. What do you do when you don't know what to do? And they're panicking. And the devil, picture of the devil, is right behind them. Mountains on one side, mountains on this side, rocky cliffs, and a wall of water in front of them. They got nowhere to go. But it wasn't even about them. It was God proving himself and taking care of the enemies. So it was about the lost crowd. Listen, what you're going through, it ain't really, you think, man, I must be, God must hate me. No. The big picture, he's probably got somebody watching you. Somebody watching you. Amen. And they're going to get saved. Hey, we got an old fellow named Gomez. He's been in our church. All his whole family's got in and got saved now. He come up to me one Sunday. He said, and I'd seen him around. He'd pop in our church back when I first got there. He said, I've been watching you since the day you announced your call to preach. He said, I've been kind of following around listening to you. He said, and you know why I'm here? He said, I watched how you was when all those people left and you hit the rock, the hard times of life. He said, you didn't get bitter. You didn't get to become an accustomed preacher. Amen. You just kept on going. I'm not bragging on myself. You got enough sense to know that. But he said, hey, I watched you. And it led to probably 6 or 8 of his family members getting saved. People's watching you. It's easy to shine. It's easy to shine on Friday on payday, but people's watching you when the bottom falls out of your life. That's what makes me want what somebody's got. Let me ask you a question now. How many of you, hey, first of all, there's bound to have been something said in this service that we need to get right. My goodness, I got to pray three or four things. You can't say all I've said and somebody not get under conviction besides me. Hey, if you examine yourself, would you do that tonight? Hey, and then if you ain't brought nobody, and people live and die and never win nobody to God, preacher.
We're going to face Jesus Christ who bled, suffered, and died and never took the Bible. I got tired of telling other people soul-winning stories. I run out of them about 8 years ago. I got under conviction about that. I said, I got to get me some of my own. You don't get the stories if you don't win nobody to God. That's exactly right. We're behind on that. I believe if we prayed, somebody might get saved tonight. If they knew how much God wanted to get saved, and they knew how much most of us wanted to get saved, they're liable to fall out under conviction. Amen. Can I get my family to sing a verse or two? Let's stand with our heads bowed tonight. You just mind the Lord. I preached a little bit longer tonight. Hey, listen now. Just mind the Lord. Mind the Lord. You might need to say something to somebody, get right. I don't know. This, my family's going to sing, and I want everybody that's saved to bow your head and help me pray that God would strengthen conviction over a lost person tonight. Just ask God, say, Lord, would you put conviction on somebody's loss? I don't know. Everybody in the building might be saved. You mind the Lord just a minute. Our heads are bowed before they sing a verse. Anybody in this building lost tonight? Just want me to pray for you? Preacher, pray for me. Never been saved. Anybody? God knows whether you've been saved or not. Anybody? Pray for me, preacher. Not ready to meet the Lord. Anybody? Sing, would you? Sing.
You say your past rules.
You don't have to be feeling a whole lot to get saved if you know you're a sinner.
You say,
and you know He's the Savior.
Your sins,
sir,
have taken you too far.
Hey, pray, man. Help me pray.
You say your life.
I'm glad I'm saved tonight.
Shattered.
The number
and broken,
one best thing I ever done.
But
glad
my
I'm saved.
God,
how about it, sir, young lady? You need to come tonight.
Was just where
you ever been born again?
Are,
what are you going to tell Jesus on
it's
Judgment
never
Day?
Too Same. Late for you to start over. It's never too late to begin again. It's never too late to run to the Father. It's never too late. It's never too late. Your sins,
anybody need to come?
Can be,
hey, Mom,
forgotten,
Dad.
And He says your sins.
I got saved a few years later. My family got saved. No telling what'll happen, Dad, if you'll sell out to God tonight.
He
save your family from a lot of trouble. Mom,
can be healed.
How about it?
Mended.
Just a minute now.
And He says to
y'all, help me pray.
It's never too late. It's never too late for you to start over. It's never too late to begin again. It's never too late to run to the Father.
Preacher, can I just take one more minute? Hey, look here. Fixing to leave. We've had some church members get saved recently, brother. We had a lady in our choir. If she would have died, I would have shouted the house down. Humble, good spirit about her, as far as being kind-hearted. She comes up one day and says, I've never been born again. I've never went to bed one night and have peace in my heart. That's an awful way to have to exist. It's an awful way to have to exist. My family's going to sing another verse. Preacher's coming. But I still believe somebody can get help tonight. I believe somebody can get saved. How many of you, let's take a vote. How many of you love to see somebody get saved? Church people. Amen. How about that? Boy, it's a blessing. All right.
Lord in heaven above, why'd you pick me to love? Why you love me, I just can't understand. When I see others more more worthy of Jesus than me. Yet you love me as small as I am. Sometimes it's hard to walk in his footsteps, but when I stumble, he understands. He picks me up, wipes off my sin, puts me on my feet again. Yes, he loves me as small as I am.
Right now, you're sitting there thinking right now, boy, I don't know. I'd love to hope so. Maybe, listen, I believe this may be someone in here right now. You're thinking, well, I believe in God. I believe everything that preacher said tonight. But you'd be scared to death if you knew you was going to die right now. You'd be scared to death. You're not sure. You're not sure about where you'd go if you'd die right now. You're the people, you're the person we're talking to right now. You need to get born again by the grace of God. You need to be saved. The way you do that, listen at me, listen. If God's tugging at your heart, you're thinking right now, boy, I need to do what that preacher said. I need to get saved. They're going to sing another verse. When they start singing, why don't you step out right there wherever you're at? If you got to climb under a pew, over a pew, tackle, football tackle, somebody, whatever you got to do, get out from where you're standing at and come down to this altar and say, God, save me. And I guarantee if you'll do that, I guarantee if you'd come to him, he won't cast you out. If you ain't saved, listen, if you're unsure about that thing, they start singing, why don't you come on down tonight, whoever it is. Now's your time right now. Here it is.
Well, I'm nobody special. I'm no ruler or king. This whole world doesn't know who I am. But Jesus walks right beside me, fights my battles and guides me. Yes, he loves me as small as I am. Sometimes it's hard to walk in his footsteps, but when I stumble, wipes off my sin, puts me on my feet again. Yes, he loves me as small as I am.
Well, amen. Little Landon is down here. How old is he? 5 years old. You know what he told his grandma this past Sunday? He left her. I didn't even know, Brother Ledbetter. He had to go home and call his, I guess he called his mama, and had to call a few other folks, I reckon, that day, because he said he'd come down and ask the Lord to save him. Nobody, he didn't prompt, didn't know. Nobody prayed with. He just went back to grandma and said, hey, I asked God to save me, save me. Said he's a different person all day long. I asked him not when he come. I hadn't said anything to him. I just went up to him and I said, hey, I said, I heard you got saved. He said, I thought I told you. He said, I don't believe a 5-year-old can get saved. I don't believe you get saved then. I don't believe you. Don't look at me cross-eyed. You say, I don't know if he got saved. I don't know if you got saved. Are y'all listening at me? All I know is that boy said he asked God to save him. Huh? No, y'all don't get peeking on me right there. Don't get nervous on me. I'm for children getting saved. Amen. I believe he gets saved. Ain't no doubt about that. That boy asked God to save him. What about that? Could y'all sing one more verse? Y'all say it's too late. Well, you know, get over it. They're going to sing one more verse. That boy got saved. If he got saved, I'm thinking maybe you could get saved tonight. They're going to sing one more verse. Y'all just think about that. Sing on.
Well, I'm nobody special. I'm no ruler or king. This whole world doesn't know. But Jesus walks right beside me, fights my battles and guides me. Yes, he loves me as small as I am. Sometimes it's hard to walk in his footsteps, but when I stumble, he understands. He picks me up, wipes off my sin, puts me on my feet again. Yes, he loves me as small as I am.
Well, amen. I appreciate you being here tonight. It hadn't been good to be in church. Amen. And I've been meaning to announce this. Of course, we've been recording all of the services, both on CD and then on DVD. And if you'd like a copy of any of the services, I think individually, if you just got a certain night that you'd want, I don't know why in God's name you just want one of them, but if that's, you know, something just special to you, the DVDs are $5 a piece, and the CDs are $2 a piece. But if you want a copy of everything that's going on this week, and there's some singing on them things too, and if you want a copy of the whole week, they're $20 for the whole week for the DVDs, and $10 for the whole week. And the Philbeck family, they y'all coming out with a CD here before long, right? Ain't y'all going to have one for long? BJ's going to buy everybody that wants one a CD. Praise God, that'd be a blessing. Amen. And So y'all take advantage of that. You know, there's a sign-up thing right back there in front of the sound booth. So if you want that, you make sure you get there. And y'all pray for Brother Philbeck and his family. They'll be traveling back tonight. And we'll have service tomorrow night, 7 o'clock. How many of y'all coming back tomorrow night? Amen. It's going to be good. I'm coming back, praise God. I thought about staying out tomorrow night, but I'm going to come just because it was so good tonight and get help. Listen at me. All right, we're done. If you're lost tonight, you don't have to leave here like that necessarily. If God's doing something in your heart, don't leave. Listen, don't chance it. Don't chance it, man. Think about that thing. Heaven and hell. I mean, that's a pretty big gamble right there. And so you really think about that thing. And we'll be back in here tomorrow night. Everybody excited? Say amen. 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 Well, we're going to be dismissed. God bless you.